Now, that's just where Christianity, as I think, has the real answer to a question a lot of modern people are asking. Everyone's heard of evolution, how man evolved from lower types of life. And people often ask, what's the next step? When is the thing beyond man going to appear? Some imaginative writers even try to picture what the next step will be like. But they usually end in nonsense about men with six arms or wings or something of that kind. But the Christians think those people are on the wrong tack. The next step has already appeared. The next step is from being mere creatures to being sons of God. The new kind of man appeared in Christ. And other new men, literal Christ, are already to be found, dotted here and there about the earth. We Christians don't call it evolution, because we believe it isn't something coming up out of blind nature, but something coming down from the world of light and power and knowledge beyond all nature. But if you like to call it evolution, do. The next step is there. You can become one of the new men in Christ, if you like. Or, if you prefer, you can refuse the step and sink back. Now, if we take the step, it involves losing what we now call ourselves. That doesn't mean that all the people who accept Christ are going to be exactly like one another. I know it sounds that it did. If there's one Christ, and he's to be in us all, actually replacing our personalities with his own, what difference will there be between us? Now, here I've got a rather difficult thing to say. On the one hand, it isn't true that we shall lose our personal differences by letting Christ take us over. On the other hand, I don't think Christ can take us over as long as we're bothering about what will happen to our personality. Can I take the first point first? If a person didn't know about salt, wouldn't he think that anything with such a strong taste would kill the taste of all the other things in any dish you put it into? We know that, as a matter of fact, it brings out their real taste. Well, it's rather like that with Christ. When you've completely given up yourself to his personality, you will then, for the first time in your life, be developing into a real person. He made the whole world. He invented, as an author invents characters in a book, all the different men that you and I were intended to be. Our real selves are, so to speak, all waiting for us in him. What I call myself now is hardly a person at all. It's mainly a meeting place for various natural forces, desires and fears, etc., some of which come from my ancestors and some from my education, some perhaps from devils. The self you were really intended to be is something that lives not from nature, but from God. At the beginning of these talks, I said there were personalities in God. Well, I go further now. There are no real personalities anywhere else. I mean, no full, complete personalities. It's only when you allow yourself to be drawn into his life that you turn into a true person. But on the other hand, it's just no good at all going to Christ for the sake of developing a fuller personality. As long as that's what you're bothering about, you haven't begun. Because the very first step towards getting a real self is to forget about the self. It will come only if you're looking for something else. That holds, you know, even for earthly matters. even in literature or art, no man who cares about originality will ever be original. It's the man who's only thinking about doing a good job or telling the truth who becomes really original and doesn't notice it. Even in social life, you never make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking what sort of impression you make. That principle runs all through life from the top to the bottom. Give up yourself and you'll find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, submit with every fiber of your being, and you'll find eternal life. Look for Christ and you will get him, and with him everything else thrown in. Look for yourself and you will get only hatred, loneliness, despair, and ruin.
Greetings, feminine friends of Bartimaeus Baptist Temple in Dallas, Texas. That was a rare recording of Clive Staples Lewis, better known as C.S. Lewis, who is a prolific writer, scholar, and lay theologian, perhaps best known for his book and later movie, The Chronicles of Narnia. Now, C.S. Lewis was born in 1898, and he actually passed away in 1963. Strangely enough, November 22nd, for those of us in Dallas, a landmark date, of course, the same day that JFK was assassinated here in Dallas, Texas. So suffice to say that his passing was overlooked. But certainly his works have not been overlooked. He was, in fact, a prolific writer, scholar, novelist, taught at Oxford. But he's probably best known for his writings as well as his relationships. Very good friends with J.R.R. Tolkien. Of course, Lord of the Rings. Remember that movie? J.R.R. Tolkien, of course, the author of that. So he had many earthly connections, but what I find most fascinating is how, regardless of this fabulous intellect, that sometimes can be somewhat of a barrier to people actually finding Christ. It's the very thing that led him right to the Lord. Even though he is often described as a reluctant convert at best. So let's look a little bit more at C.S. Lewis. I'm just simply fascinated because in addition to his works that we have seen, just his personal story, and I'll get a little bit into that as we proceed. But what I wanted to do was sort of tie in a scripture focus. And today's scripture focus, of course, is found in the book of Matthew, 16th chapter, verses 25 through 26. Of course, I'm using the New American Standard. And the reason I'm using that is because that is the scripture focus that he was echoing in his radio clip that you just heard. Very, very rare, in fact. And it reads, "For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And oh, I wish we had the time to play another clip. This one from Max McLean, who is an actor who plays C.S. Lewis. In fact, he was in town just last night at the Eisman Center playing C.S. Lewis. We weren't able to make it. But he does this one-man Broadway show where you get the real impression he was not a willing convert. In fact, he seems downright irritated when, after he does all these intellectual gymnastics, the only logical conclusion is that Jesus is Lord. In fact, I watched, there's a movie called Shadowlands. It was actually made back in the 80s and remade in, I believe, 1993 with Anthony Hopkins and Deborah Winger. So it was, you know, high dollar remake. And very well done. And what you see in that movie, and my beloved was so wonderful to put up with me because we watched it on Valentine's Day. I think I enjoyed it a little more than he did. But suffice to say, it really gave you a picture of how profoundly, painfully human C.S. Lewis truly was. In fact, it's the story of him losing his wife to cancer and, you know, just how profoundly that changed him. But it got me to really truly ponder how hard we try to keep up the facade that we're okay. And, you know, everything's okay. Or the stuff that we cling to because we tell ourselves We need it. We can't do without it. But in fact, the irony is, and what this verse sort of tells us quite clearly is, that's a form of slavery. When you can't let go of something, that means something has you, right? And the irony is that our true freedom comes in letting go, letting go. So I really want to ask you peeps, you know, what are you hanging on to? What are you hanging on to? You know, we just don't get it. We don't. I don't get it. We don't really have a clue how much God truly loves us. Because somehow in our minds, we've read it. Maybe we've been raised from the time we were babies, in church, somehow. Jesus is just not enough, right? We need Jesus plus fill in the blanks. What is it? But let me share, you know, over the past year, our awesome Lord has really helped. Let's just say helped me really rearrange my schedule. Let me explain. Stuff I was just too busy for before, I got plenty of time for it now. Because I need help with just about everything. I need help getting in bed. I need help getting out of bed. I need help getting on the toity. I need help getting off the toity. And I'm pretty darn lucky if I get a shower twice a week. I'm thrilled. I'm giddy. And now, I know a lot of you will identify with this. I really struggle with sleep. And I never have in my whole life. had to worry about sleep. I had to worry about staying awake. Not so much now. I say I get 8 hours of sleep a night, but boy, it takes me 12 to get there most nights. But you know what? I've got a whole lot more time to pray than ever before. So, how has our awesome Lord helped you grow closer to Him through your experience over the past year, over the past month, maybe over just the past week? How's He working with you? Are you too busy for Him? Trust me, He can and He will fix that. He'll fix that. He will rearrange your schedule and allow you all the time in the world you need to talk it out with Him. Amen? Amen. Oh, and I don't think I said to switch the PowerPoint. Hopefully you've caught up. But please, if you would, just one last time now, while we have the scripture up, let's switch that PowerPoint. And what should be on there is the Screwtape Letters. And in fact, the Screwtape Letters is, some of you might have had to have read it in school. Fascinating book by, of course, C.S. Lewis. And in fact, Max McLean, very well-known actor, who we spoke about here last night at the Iceman Center doing the Screwtape Letters. And spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what it's about, if you want to watch it, stop up your ears, leave the room, because I'm going to just tell you sort of what it's about and how it ends. The Screwtape Letters is basically C.S. Lewis is investigating, you know, if the devil were to take aside an apprentice, if you will, and teach him how to mess up our lives. Yep, that's what it's about. And he's actually, you know, coaching his nephew. And of course, we've learned he doesn't need a whole lot of tricks. He's only got a handful, but he uses them really well. Discouragement, distraction, temptation. So he is trying to get his nephew to cause a Christian to fall, using everything he's got. But in fact, the man escapes, and his nephew fails. And what is the cost for this? He eats him. Now, I've heard the Screwtape Letters before. In fact, Beloved and I, early on, we listened to it on the radio, I remember. But I must have dozed off because I was truly, truly shocked to hear the end. But think about it. You've got two choices. You can serve the Lord, who is going to forgive you 70 times 7. He's everlasting, loving kindness forever. Or you can do your own thing and the devil will eat you alive. Gee, that's a hard choice. So, peeps, simply want to say, as you proceed, just remember, we are here and given free will to make our own choices, but I just pray that we recommit ourselves to really choosing wisely. Not so much as in avoidance, but for joy. And even C.S. Lewis writes about that. The profound joy he found in accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So I want us to revisit that. I want us to come back to that. And I want us to know, now we see only in a mirror dimly, but we're going to be face to face with the Lord. What an awesome thing. Joy we cannot even imagine. So, again, I just want to wrap up with a prayer and proceed on. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you so much for loving us enough to give us everything we need, including free will. But thank you also for giving us the freedom to use it. I pray for all of us, myself included. I pray it every day, and I'm going to pray it for everyone here, for everyone listening. This simple prayer. Lord, grant us the courage, grant us the wisdom, grant us the strength to do those things, to say those things, to become those things that you have created us to be, because you love us so much. You will help us in any way. But you won't force us, no. But you will be waiting there with open arms and rooting for us every step of the way. So we praise you and thank you for that opportunity, Lord, to serve you, to love you, and to one day be with you forever. In the holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior, amen.